Good morning, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It is Thursday, May 19th, and this is a quick read of my short 400-word post, Every Little Bit Counts, Unless It's Not Actually a Little Bit. We have a common rationalization for treatments with possible small benefits shown by quote-unquote promising studies. Every little bit counts. Anything is better than nothing, especially for highly motivated people and serious athletes. Are the canonical example, but it's true for all kinds of patients, anyone for whom the stakes are high, anyone desperate. A lot of physical therapy and pain treatment is justified with this logic. The evidence shows only a small benefit, but that is okay because athletes want every possible advantage. Right? Well, sure, if the intervention is actually effective, and if the investment is also small, and if the risk of harm is trivial. But what if it's not actually effective? What if it's not actually beneficial, not even a little bit? The effect size shown by a clinical trial is the magnitude of the benefit shown for a treatment. For instance, if a study shows that celery juice reduced pain by an average of 5 points on a scale of 10, that would be a ginormous effect size. In sports and pain medicine, we are lucky to see a 2-point improvement. The meaning of small treatment effect sizes in research is routinely misunderstood. A small effect size does not mean that it was better than nothing. What it actually means is likely just an artifact. That's probably not real. A little audio-only digression here. I didn't bother getting into this in the written post. Effect sizes, in contrast, primarily to statistical significance. You see statistical significance reported in abstracts almost exclusively. The effect size is sometimes there, rarely emphasized, often not there at all. Statistical significance is usually oversimplified to mean that the effect is real in a statistical sense. Whatever size it is, it actually exists. The oversimplification of statistical significance is baked right into a single number, the infamous, notorious p-value. The problem is that abstracts tend to focus on this to the exclusion of effect size, making the results sound more important than they are by calling them significant, which makes it sound important without any reference to effect size, you have no idea if it actually is important. All they mean is that it was statistically significant. And this is, it's amazing how often this happens. So the true meaning of a small effect size, the only reason that there's any positive signal at all is usually the result of bias-powered jiggery-pokery in the experimental design and number crunching, known as p-hacking. If truly objective and talented researchers were to do the same trial, they'd probably find no result whatsoever. That is, they wouldn't find a small effect, they'd find no effect at all, which isn't so promising. Could there be a small but real effect that is actually better than nothing? Yeah, that is, of course, always possible, although quite implausible in some cases. But can we have a reasonable confidence in that? Should we waste time, money, effort, hope on a benefit that is not just small, but small at best, and more likely simply non-existent? Not hardly. It's quite a bit more likely that the evidence suggests there is no effect, not a small but real one. And that goes double for things that weren't plausible to begin with. The chances of statistical jiggery-pokery, of p-hacking, go way, way up in studies of silly things. And just one little audio-only afterthought here. The every little bit counts gambit is almost always applied to athletes. Athletes are used as the canonical example of people who will do anything, who want even the slightest actual benefit. And that's a distortion in two directions. Obviously, there's, the cliches come from a seed of truth. Serious and elite athletes really are, for good reason, known for trying anything. But it's not all athletes. Lots of athletes know better. Lots of athletes are more conservative and cautious in their training and rehab style and focus on the basics, mostly just a lot of hard work and a lot of patience, and they don't invest in slash waste time and money on long shots. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is that athletes definitely don't have a monopoly on caring a lot about the benefits of their treatments. They're not the only people who would, you know, pay almost anything, do almost anything for even a little bit of relief or advantage. Everyone whose disability or pain is significant cares a lot. You know, picture, you know, someone who has to, say, deliver your mail to earn their living, and they get a case of plantar fasciitis. I guarantee you they are just as concerned, if not quite a lot more concerned, about that than a serious athlete. So it's kind of weird the way we focus on athletes as being the, you know, they are the main ones for whom every little bit counts. I think it's mostly just that, you know, those are the people who most often seek physical therapy, who are most often on our televisions wearing kinesio tape and, you know, other visible signs of doing almost anything to get an advantage. But, you know, the truth is it's just across the board in the world of injury, rehab, and chronic pain management.